So, life is a Kafka novel, and I am its poor and unwitting protagonist because I am sick yet again this week. and that's why I sound like there's just a wee little toad that's making its cozy, comfy little home right in my throat. But I promised, I made a social contract that I would be here every week. And so here I am. That's what I'm doing. It's hell or high water, baby. Let's go. Giggle. Hello, howdy, hiya, and welcome to the first episode of Plumber Bummer. Ah, this is so exciting. My name is Natalie McKnight, and this week, for the first time ever, I watched Super Mario Brothers starring Bob Hoskins and John Leguizamo. But before we get into that, I want to take a second and talk about some fan mail I got. Oh, you guys, I'm so excited. Our first ever email on the show is from Michelle, and she says, "Let me in." Thank you so much, Michelle. If you would like to be featured in the next episode, you can email the show at plumberbummerpodcast@gmail.com. Feel free to send something less threatening. I'm kidding. I love Michelle. Thank you so much for writing in. And because this podcast is as much about Super Mario Brothers 1993 as it is the new upcoming Mario movie and video game movies in general, I also want to mention the new trailer for the Resident Evil movie that just dropped. It's called Resident Evil: Welcome to Raccoon City. I'm a huge Resident Evil fan. I love the game series. They are weirdly comfort media to me. You would not expect that a survival horror series about killing zombies would be so comforting, but it is. There's something really nice about it. And this movie is based on Resident Evil 1 and 2, which are two of my favorite entries into the franchise. So who isn't excited about this? It looks so good bad, and I am so excited about it. You have no idea. But why am I talking about this? Well, you may or may not know that Super Mario Brothers was the first live-action feature film to be based on a video game. And this upcoming year is huge for movies based on video games, between the new Resident Evil movie, the second Sonic live-action movie, and the animated Mario movie. I'm really excited to talk about how that genre has continued and where it is now and this legacy that Super Mario Brothers has established. And now, what you've all been waiting for, the main event. Let's talk about Super Mario Brothers. I watched it earlier this week. When I started this project, I should say, I was very afraid that it would be too many times watching this movie. It's objectively, it's still too many times, but I was worried that I would run out of things to talk about. I no longer have that fear. In fact, I now worry that I won't have enough episodes to fully unpack this absolute fucking beast of a film. I was going to write jokes about this movie, and I don't have to for this first week because the movie is enough of a joke on its own. I started to take notes during the movie, and I got about 5 minutes in, and then I was like, hey, actually, fuck that. So I will now be recapping the film entirely from memory. We are raw dogging it this week. Hell yeah. So let me paint you a word picture, right? The premise of this film is the meteor that killed the dinosaurs split the universe into two dimensions, into two timelines. And our timeline is the one where the dinosaurs died. But this alternate timeline is one in which the dinosaurs lived and then continued to evolve. That is the basis for the live-action Super Mario Brothers movie. And I don't know how we got from point A to point B. How do you look at this video game franchise about an Italian man who jumps around and goes in pipes and fights silly little monsters, and you say, actually, the dinosaurs are still alive? So we open the movie with this exposition that, hey, guess what? Maybe the dinosaurs lived. And then we are introduced to the Mario Brothers, Mario and Luigi, as we know them. As I've discussed previously, Mario is played by Bob Hoskins, and Luigi is played by a very smooth-faced John Leguizamo. Why they didn't give him a mustache? I don't know. I'm going to be honest, I think they tried to make Luigi sexy in this one, and mustaches weren't sexy in 1993, which is not true. Tom Selleck? All right. The Mario Brothers, unfortunately, are going broke. They have their own plumbing company, but they've had some trouble getting work, and it's mostly due to this rival company run by this man named Scapelli. And you hate to see Italian-Americans bringing other Italian-Americans down. Because let me tell you, Mario is distinctly Italian-American in this movie. He's not an Italian man. This is a man who has lived in Brooklyn his entire life. And as an Italian-American, I felt seen. This move over The Godfather, this is the new Italian-American culture movie. It's Super Mario Brothers, 1993. We are also introduced to Daisy, who is potentially an archaeologist, potentially a college student. It is very unclear how old she is or what her job is, but she's working on a dig site in Brooklyn, and she's uncovering these dinosaur bones. And so the Mario Brothers meet her because Scapelli wants to apparently develop on this land that the dig site is at. Why it's so urgent, I don't know, but he keeps showing up, and so Daisy goes to call for security, and that's when she meets the Mario Brothers, when Luigi hands her a quarter for the phone, because it's 1993. And if you're thinking, hey, that sounds like a meet-cute, it is. Remember when I said they wanted to make Luigi sexy? Well, Daisy's cute as hell, and they are definitely trying to pair them together. So the Mario Bros offer her a ride back to the dig site, and side note, she immediately accepts this ride in a van from two very strange men that she meets on the streets of Brooklyn. A little PSA, don't do that, particularly if you're a young woman. It is very dangerous. I don't endorse this behavior. Luigi eventually asks her out to dinner that night, and she agrees, so they go out to dinner with Mario and his girlfriend, Daniela. Who is Daniela? I don't know. She is a woman in Brooklyn, ostensibly also Italian-American. So here's the thing. In 1993, you have to understand, this was pre-Mario 64, which was the first instance of Princess Peach being called Peach. Before that, she was known as Princess Toadstool. And unfortunately, Princess Toadstool is not a very sexy name. So now we have Daniela, who is cute. She's really cute, and I love her a lot. Just sucks my girl Peach got looked over in this one. R.I.P. But we do have Daisy, and I love Daisy. She was my favorite character in Mario Kart, so this movie was made for me specifically. After dinner, Daisy decides to take Luigi to the dig site, because that's super romantic. And so they go down, they find this dinosaur skeleton just in the earth, which is, by the way, I'm not an archaeologist. They don't do that. You don't find full skeletons like that in one place, all aligned like it would be. There's a reason that archaeologists are paid money to figure out how bones fit together. But they find this dinosaur, and Daisy remarks that it looks like it had opposable thumbs. Again, not an archaeologist, doesn't sound right to me. Did dinosaurs have grabby thumbs? Maybe. I don't know. It sounds wrong. That does not sound correct, but I don't know enough about dinosaurs to dispute it. And Scapelli, who again, we know nothing about at this point other than he's a capitalist, sends his goons in to sabotage this dig site because, again, he wants to develop there. So now the site is flooding. And Luigi, who is a plumber, calls his brother Mario, who is also a plumber, and they start to fix up the pipes. Hey, woohoo, go team. Plumbers. Unfortunately, they were then knocked out by these two very weird, very Home Alone-esque men. Their names are Iggy and Spike, and in the Mario canon, there is a group of enemies called Koopalings, and they are kind of mini-bosses. They're Bowser's minions. They first appeared in Super Mario Bros. 3, which does predate this movie, so there is basis. However, one of them is named Iggy, and none of them are named Spike. So I don't fully understand what these two little goofballs are doing here. But as we find out later, they were sent by the big bad to come kidnap Princess Daisy, and that's exactly what they do. It's also established that they are idiots and they suck at their job because women have been going missing in Brooklyn for a while. So they kidnap Princess Daisy. She is taken through a solid rock wall, and Mario and Luigi follow her down. They're in this kind of caverny place, I guess, underneath Brooklyn. And then Daisy pops out of the wall, but she's like made of rock. It is very confusing, especially when you don't know what's happening because this is your first time seeing the movie. Oh my God, I didn't talk about the baby. Okay. So, rewind. The movie opens, right, with the dinosaur thing. But then we see this woman carrying like a bundle, and she leaves it on the steps of this convent and then runs away. And the nuns living at the convent open up the capsule and they find this egg inside, right? And then we cut back to this woman who is running for her life, but she is intercepted by this very mean-looking man. And then ostensibly she perishes at the hands of this guy. But then the egg cracks, and there's a baby, a human baby. And included with this capsule is this, it kind of looks like a crystal or like a fragment of a rock or something. But anyways, Daisy is wearing it, and she, at the dinner scene, mentions that she was left on the steps of an orphanage and grew up without knowing her parents, and that she was left with this necklace which has this piece of crystal on it. And then Luigi reveals that he, too, doesn't know his parents and was raised by Mario. This is not significant to the plot whatsoever. I don't know if they're related. We never go into the circumstances behind how they met or their family dynamic. It's just Mario raised Luigi, which is why he's older than him. Bob Hoskins is significantly older than John Leguizamo in this movie, but we don't know why. We don't know why. And Luigi says, you know, Mario was my mother, and then Mario gives him a look and he's like, oh, you know, my father and my brother and my uncle, and he's everything, he's my family. But why, where are Luigi's parents? How did Mario come in possession of this ward? I don't know. And it bugs me because it doesn't matter if they're actually brothers. Listen, you would think found family would be a bigger theme of this movie. It is not, but I am making it so. Found family is important, and you don't have to be related by blood to be family with somebody. But I would like exposition, please, in this film. It just doesn't come. And you have to live with that. Anyways, pressing play again on this scene, when Daisy comes out of this rock wall, Luigi grabs this necklace, and then Daisy is pulled back in. And then Luigi says, I'm going to do it. And he jumps to the wall. And it works. It's fine. He goes through. He's okay. And Mario, air the cautious one. Not true, by the way. Have you played Luigi's Mansion? Come on. Mario hesitates, but then follows his brother through this wall. And they end up in a place I can only describe as from my childhood nightmares. I think I literally dreamed about this environment when I was a kid, and I was deathly terrified of it. It is, how do I say this, Brooklyn adjacent. It's kind of like the, you know, in the Hunger Games where the people in the Capitol have these like whack hairstyles and crazy fashion and stuff like that. It's a little bit like that. The fashion is a little bit dystopian. It's clear we are not in Brooklyn anymore, which I think Luigi says verbatim. There are signs everywhere that are like allusions to the Mario games. So it'll say like Thwomp Insurance or whatever. I don't remember, but it's stuff like that. It's such a tonal shift from what we were just doing, right? Which is very like slice of life. This little romance is brewing between Luigi and Daisy. This is so cute. She's an archaeologist. We love women in STEM. And then we immediately jump to this alternate reality. I guess it's Brooklyn. They don't really say. I suppose it is still Brooklyn, but it's not, though, is the thing. Everyone is mean. People are poor. There are no resources. There's no food. There's no water. It sucks. This world that they've come into sucks bad. And the next 20 minutes of film time are such a barrage of sights and sounds that I truly don't remember what happened specifically at all. It's like a fever dream. It felt like a fever dream watching it. It just gave off this awful, terrifying aura that I hated. I was watching it in public. I was watching it in a public library. And it just, I had to keep pausing the movie so I could like take in what was happening. And I felt crazy. I felt like people were staring at me trying to watch the Super Mario Brothers movie. But I can't describe it to you. I will find the words. I have to find the words over the next 60 iterations of this podcast. But as of right now, it's just so hard to describe the environment and the vibes of what is happening. It is at this time that we also meet the main antagonist of this film. His name is King Koopa. And if you're like, that's weird, why isn't he called Bowser? Because he wasn't called Bowser yet. This came out in 1993. We weren't there yet, silly goose. So we meet King Koopa, and we also meet his associate, Lina. Who is Lina? It's never explicitly made clear. It's kind of implied she has a thing for him and that perhaps they have some kind of relationship, but it's never outright said. I will say Lina is played by Fiona Shaw, who you may know as Aunt Petunia in the Harry Potter movies, which came out after this. I like to think she landed that gig because of this movie, because genuinely, and I say this with no irony in my body whatsoever, she is the best part of this movie. There is something so compelling about her character. I can't explain it. I think Fiona Shaw is just a phenomenal actress, actually, that she took this wild carcass of a script and then turned it into something genuinely memorable. And I would be remiss if I did not give her all of the kudos. Hey, Fiona Shaw, you did fantastic here. Actually, I loved your character. But it's established that King Koopa's motivation in bringing Daisy here is that she is the only person who can merge our dinosaur-less dimension with the dinosaurid dimension. And you may be thinking, how does that come into play? Where did the dinosaurs come in here? Okay. All right. I have to take off my glasses for this. So the significance of dinosaurs living is that they continued evolving. And somehow they evolved into human-like beings. Take that in. Yep. Okay. Are we on the same page now? Because I'm still processing. It has been days since I've seen this movie, and I cannot I've taken a biology class. Don't think that's how evolution works. Actually, if anything, they would be crabs, right? We were all agreed carcinization is a real thing, and they would be crabs. Cool. Glad we're caught up. Why are they humans? Sorry, no, they aren't humans. They actually explicitly make this point that the mammalian humans that evolved from monkeys are very different creatures, despite them looking and functioning precisely the same. Yep. So this dinosaur world, I hate having to say that, this dinosaur realm is run by King Koopa, who is this malevolent dictator, I suppose. And as I mentioned, it is running out of resources, and so he wants to merge the dimensions so that he can steal resources from the bountiful mammalian realm. That's where we're at with this. Mario and Luigi meet Toad, and if you're thinking, aw, it's that cute little red and white mushroom guy. No, you're wrong. Toad is a fully grown man. He plays a guitar, and he is anti-establishment. He's a man of the people. They meet him, and he immediately starts singing this song about how much Koopa sucks, and then the police come and arrest all three of them. That's right. Surprise, this Mario movie is about a totalitarian government, baby. What is happening? What is happening? They go to jail. They go to real prison. And then, King Koopa comes, right? He pretends to be their lawyer for like 30 seconds. I don't know why he does this, but he meets with them and he's like, I'm your lawyer. You need to tell me what happened. And they're like, well, we got arrested for speaking out against this guy who we don't know who he is, and we didn't do anything. And at this point, I do not remember how. I am so sorry. As I mentioned, truly hard to process anything that happened within the middle chunk of this movie. But he knows that they have this crystal, right, which he calls the meteorite, which I assume to be a piece of this meteor that would have killed the dinosaurs. It's okay. He asks them where it is, and they have to tell him that it was stolen from them and that they do not have it. And so he goes, cool. By the way, I'm the asshole who runs this place. And then he takes both the Mario brothers and Toad, the fully grown man, to what he calls the Devo chamber, the Devo room, the Devo machine. It's one of those. What is this place? Well, Devo is short for de-evolve. And you can see where I'm going with this. He demonstrates by putting Toad into this chair, and this apparatus comes down over his head. And after a couple of seconds, Toad becomes, how do I say, the worst thing I've ever seen in a film. Like, I'm a horror movie aficionado. As I mentioned earlier, love me some Resident Evil. I'm a big fan of horror fiction. I love that shit. Body horror gets me. It's great. I have never seen anything as viscerally disgusting as what happens to Toad in this movie. He is a lizard, I suppose, or lizard-esque. He has this huge, wide, like, curving mouth. He has these giant bug eyes. It's terrible. It's just awful. I hate it. I hate looking at it. I had to pause the movie and take a lap. It was bad. I am upset talking about it right now. I don't like it. I don't want it. Why did you do this to me? Mario movie. King Koopa calls this creature a Goomba. No, it isn't. It is not. If you recall from the games, a Goomba is a cute little brown mushroomy character that you stomp on and then it goes, ooh, and then it dies. This is waiting for me at the bottom of my shower drain. This creature is the before to a Neutrogena commercial from hell. I don't want it. Anyway, they give Toad, he had a little harmonica because, as I mentioned, he was like a musician. He sang a song. They give him back his little harmonica, which is how you know it's Toad for the rest of the movie. And then they send him on his way with all the other Goombas. King Koopa uses these creatures as his minions because they're stupid and they're de-evolved and it's a whole thing. Aside from like the moral implications of that, I wish they weren't here. I guess he has to have some kind of like workforce under him. But no, he doesn't. Or if he does, make them better. Please, please God, you could have just made them like turtle guys. That would have been so cute. Just give us more Iggy and Spikes, who are essentially human beings. You didn't have to go this route, Mario movie, and I'm so mad and sad that you did. So he then tries to de-evolve Mario and Luigi, but they push him into the machine first, pull the apparatus over his head, push the lever, and he starts to de-evolve, but it doesn't go all the way. It only goes a little bit, just a little bit of de-evolution as a treat. And so Mario and Luigi make this daring escape from this jail. They steal a police car and they're driving, and they end up shooting out of this tunnel into this desert, right? Because despite the fact that it is established that at one point our world and this alternate world were the same, right? They both were contained dinosaurs, ostensibly of the same geography. They were the same planet. Post-meteor crash, if the dinosaurs live, apparently it is like one single city and then desert, and that's it. Why does this happen? I don't know. I would assume it would be like a overuse of resources, perhaps. But I don't have an answer. I don't have an answer to anything that happens in this movie. Nothing makes sense. Anyway, they're in this desert and they're flying out of this tunnel. And then this fungus catches them. And I haven't mentioned the fungus, so let's talk about it. Throughout the entire city, there is this nasty ass fungus. It kind of looks cobwebby a little bit, or like membranous. Koopa hates it, right? Every time they walk into a government building, they're defungused. And it helps them a couple times, including when it catches their car and helps lower them to the ground. Let's check back in with Daisy, shall we? Who is, the whole damsel in distress thing and kidnapping of young women thing in movies is wildly uncomfortable. And it's, I don't know what he plans to do with her necessarily, aside from having her open this portal and merging the dimensions. Because he like dresses her in her mother's dress, right? And then she has like this full face of makeup and it's a whole thing. And he has this awful line to her where it's like, you know what they say about little girls? They never forget the first time they kiss a lizard. And I don't like it. I don't want it. I didn't think this was how I was going to react in real time as I was recalling this movie. But here we are. I just don't like it. She also has a couple really interesting conversations with the best character, Lena, who is, I guess, jealous. It's never outright said, which leaves it up to interpretation. But it is heavily implied that this Lena character is in love with King Koopa and is jealous of the attention that he starts giving Daisy. Which is not a trope I love, but there's something about it that's done here, and I think it's because it's subtle and not stated outright. I don't mind it. I think Fiona Shaw plays it really well. She has a couple moments of like genuine kindness and connection with Daisy, which are really interesting. There's something so cool about her character. Also, I'm gonna say it, she's hot. Her outfits kill me. They're so good. The costuming in this movie is like kind of más o menos, except for her outfits, which all slap. I love them. Anyway, I'm a Lena stan, I guess. We then check back in with Iggy and Spike, the idiots from earlier, who are put in the Devo machine, but evolved to a more advanced state of their selves. They don't physically change at all. They just get smarter. And I put that in heavy quotes because they don't actually. They just start using bigger vocab words and also become socialists. So good for them. Love Iggy and Spike. Great guys. Koopa then sends them after Mario and Luigi to go find them in the desert. And they do. At which point, they say, hey, it makes more sense for us to team up together to find this meteorite piece. And then we'll help you save Princess Daisy. Which is a good plan, right? That it does make sense from their perspective. It's certainly not something they would have come up with pre-evolution. However, it's they don't execute it well. The brain cell evaporates there. This meteorite I mentioned was stolen by this woman who they call Big Bertha. Apparently, the original Big Bertha in the Mario franchise is a Cheep Cheep, which, if you aren't familiar with Mario lore, is a fish, who is an enemy. And in the film, she is just this rather large woman who is a bouncer at this club that they decide to go to. I will spend so much time analyzing this club scene in the future because there's so much whack shit that happens in it. For example, it was very much 1993, and they play that song, you know, the Everybody Walk the Dinosaur? They play that song. It is surprisingly fitting, and I was mad at how much I liked its inclusion. Thank you, Super Mario Brothers. I hate you. They meet up with Big Bertha, who is wearing this piece of meteorite on the necklace, and Mario decides to woo her in order to steal it from her. And there is a not incredibly long, but certainly longer than it needs to be, scene in which he dances with her. And it's a whole thing. I hate it. I just didn't like watching it. And I'm going to have to watch it 60 more times. And I'm going to hate it every time. Anyways, he woos her and steals the necklace from her. But, as you can imagine, these two plumbers are criminals now. And so their mugshot from when they were arrested is hanging in the club. And so the person at the coat check calls the police, who then come into this club to arrest Mario and Luigi. Iggy and Spike are also here, and they are basically saying, you know, King Koopa doesn't care about the proletariat, and he's a tyrannical ruler. And again, good for them. They are correct. Big Bertha, despite the fact that Mario stole something from her, helps them out of the establishment by giving them these shoes that, like, let you jump really high. I don't know. She kisses Mario on the lips before they leave, and he seems into it. Like, it's a consensual thing. He does have a girlfriend. Poor Daniela, you know. Again, Italian-Americans, we don't have to compete. We should stick together. They then go to the tower to finally rescue Princess Daisy now that they are in possession of this meteorite piece. So let's check in with her. What's going on with Daisy? Well, she meets Yoshi. And if you know Mario, I'm sure you know Yoshi. He's this adorable little green dinosaur guy. And he has these round cheeks. And he's all cuddly. And he does the Yoshi. And it's just so cute. I love Yoshi. Yoshi in this movie is a hyper-realistic dinosaur. and it is more disturbing than you think it would be. I didn't like it. I've said that a lot. I didn't like it. It made me upset. I wanted to die. Why would you include such a loving, cute, adorable little character who maybe commits tax fraud? That feels right for Yoshi. But that doesn't change how much we love him. But I didn't love this Yoshi. It was upsetting. I have so many questions. Why did you choose to do that? I will say the effects didn't look bad. Like, they didn't look great. They looked very much 1993. But for 1993, they looked pretty good. And it was so good, in fact, that this movie was almost nominated for an Oscar for Best Visual Effects. Did it deserve that Oscar? No. That's why it wasn't nominated. But that does give you, I guess, a hint as to, first of all, where we were in terms of special effects in 1993. Not great. I'm sure if anyone who did the effects on this movie were to watch an Avengers movie now, they would just, like, die. Like, they would just be blown away. But also, it just didn't look terrible, but it didn't look good 30 years later, you know? Anyway, Yoshi is a hyper-realistic dinosaur, and I wish I was kidding. Daisy, for this entire movie, has also been wondering about where her father is, because she finds out that her mother was killed after giving her up to the orphanage, but she doesn't know where her dad is, and she knows that she is a princess. Did I say that? She's a princess. She knows that, and so it's assumed that her father was the king at some point, and so she does not know where he is, and it is at this point in the movie that we find out that, how do I say this delicately, the fungus is her dad. The fungus is her dad. He was de-evolved and then became fungus, which then spread over the entire city. Whew, okay. There's a lot to unpack there. Namely, from a biological standpoint, right? I can suspend my disbelief enough to accept that perhaps these dinosaurs evolved, whatever. Okay, sure. If you want to build your movie on that premise, I'll allow it. At what point did a mushroom evolve like this? There's no indication that that's what happened. They don't explain it. They don't explain it. They just do it. What about dinosaurs not dying cause mushrooms to also evolve into humanoid organisms? I want answers. I want an explanation. We are now at the climax of this film. So Mario and Luigi arrive at the tower, and they split up. Luigi and Daisy find each other, they start, what do they do? They run off. I don't remember what they do. But Mario finds the rest of the missing women from Brooklyn, as you may recall, and his girlfriend is there. Hi, Daniela. Sorry, I kissed someone else. He ends up freeing them from their Goomba captors, and then they ride a mattress out of the tower. Yep. In terms of, like, crazy of this movie, that's pretty low. I'll allow it. That's fine. Luigi and Daisy go off, and they find, I guess it's where the meteor hit. That's the only thing that makes sense to me, because the meteorite piece fits within this, like, cavern, this hole in this space. It doesn't really make any sense, but that's fine. And there they find best girl Lena, who steals the meteorite piece and tries to use it herself. Unfortunately, she is fried, and her skeleton is thrown against a wall. I am not kidding. That is how they decide to end her character arc. I am very upset about it. I think Lena deserved better, frankly. I think she was a really interesting character, and they really dropped the ball on her at the end, because there was a really interesting, like, maternal relationship with her and Daisy that they just don't develop or do anything with past a certain point. Why didn't they? Lena should have been the main antagonist. I digress. Mario, meanwhile, is fighting King Koopa. And as Lena puts this meteorite piece into its little spot and starts to merge the dimensions, they materialize in our Brooklyn, where we find Scapelli at the dig site. And then King Koopa takes the Devo gun, which is established, by the way, I didn't mention it, but there's a gun that can do this now. And he points it at Scapelli, and he turns him into a monkey. And then they go back to the dino realm. This is what happens. That's how they resolve this capitalist plot point. He's a monkey now. All capitalists are monkeys. You heard it here first. This climax is absolutely a blur to me. Because, again, so much is happening. None of it really makes sense. But the gist of it is, if you remember when King Koopa started to be de-evolutioned and then stopped, he fully de-evolutions into Tyrannosaurus Rex. So now there is a very real dinosaur that they have to defeat. And they do, because it's Mario. Hey guys, Mario wins. I thought I'd be more composed recording this episode. I am not. Why does he become a dinosaur? Why does he become a dinosaur? I know why. Like, I guess in terms of, like, following the logic established of this movie, him becoming a dinosaur makes sense. Actually, you know what? I lied. I'm gonna excuse it. It was kind of rad. It was kind of sick that he became a dino. I don't fully understand it, and it's making my brain hurt a little bit. But I'm glad he did. Hey, good on you, movie. Thanks for including a T-Rex. That's super cool. Eventually, Mario and Luigi rejoin Daisy at the site of the meteor, where she starts to send them home. But she's not coming with them, because I guess she wants to stick around and, like, help the city regain its feet now that its dictator is dead. And I guess there's also an element of, like, she never knew where she belonged because she was a dinosaur. So now that she's in the dinosaur world, she feels at home, I guess. Anyway, she and Luigi have their movie kiss, their only kiss in the entire film. And then they go back to Brooklyn and they leave her behind. Aw. And then that's the end of the movie. They return to Brooklyn. They're heroes. And at the very end of the movie, like, last scene, it's sometime in the future. And Daisy comes back and she's like Sarah Connor'd out. She's like holding a gun or something. And she's like, brothers, there's trouble. And then they ostensibly go back to the dinosaur realm. Perhaps there was going to be a sequel. I don't know. But that's how the movie ends. Oh, I'm sorry. There is one post-credit scene where these two Japanese businessmen are like, hey, we want to make a video game about your adventures. Will you two sign on? And then we cut to Iggy and Spike, who are like, yeah, we'll call it. What do they call it? I think they call it Super Koopa Brothers or something. It's terrible. So there's the end of this film. That's where the movie stops. And I am grateful, and I don't understand, and I'm angry. But also, I kind of liked it. Like, don't get me wrong. I know how much I said I didn't like elements of it, and I'm right. Like, whatever happened with the Goombas was so upsetting that I hated it. But I did. I mean, it was an experience that wasn't unenjoyable and that I could, like, see myself sitting through again, which is good because I'm going to have to many times. I know I'm missing a bunch of plot points and smaller scene stuff, but that's the gist of the movie. That's essentially the plot from my memory. I hope that my recap made sense, but if it didn't, that's kind of just how the movie is. It's bonkers, and it's all over the place, and there is so much going on, and I'm really excited to spend the next year and then some dissecting it, because there is so much to talk about. I could do an episode exclusively about all of the little things that are in Dino Brooklyn when they first arrive. Maybe that will be an episode. I don't know. We'll find out. I have 60 weeks. Next week's episode will feature, you know, notes, which will definitely help me fill in any gaps that I missed. And I'm really excited to talk about the movie, and especially all the little things that I didn't get to include because I forgot them. If you've never seen this movie, truly, I hope that this gave you an accurate idea of what it's like. I will say the tone is surprisingly dark for a kid's movie. Luigi says shit in it. Like, this movie is rated PG. Luigi says shit when Daisy is captured. Ah, it was 1993. They didn't care about kids yet. If I had to, like, compare this movie to other movies, I would say it's very much like Land Before Time meets Home Alone meets, like, Gremlins or something. Like, it's, like, that kind of weird, dark energy, which I'm not mad about. I just don't know if a Mario movie was the best place to use that. But then again, a lot of American Mario projects have had really just weird vibes. It was not a public domain work whatsoever. But especially in the 2000s and 2010s, it started becoming seen as that. And I think a huge part of that was because of these movies, which took this concept of Mario and just removed it so far from its original context and tone that it kind of became this really malleable concept, which is how we got a lot of these, you know, early 2010s, late 2000s YouTube sketches and video game comedy that contributed to a lot of internet humor. Now that we're finished talking about this movie, I wanted to think of something that was non-Mario related that I could kind of wrap up the episode with. And so every week I will be giving you a non-Super Mario Brothers movie to watch so that you can know and I guess judge my film taste outside of this hell that I've subjected myself to. And this week I really wanted to stick with this theme of like movies I can recall from memory. And that absolutely has to be The Princess Bride, directed by Rob Reiner. It's a classic movie. I can quote it extensively with the movie running. It's a fantastic script written by William Goldman, who wrote the book, which is a banger, by the way. Not enough people have read the book. He also wrote Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid. So there you go. Thanks, William Goldman. But it's a fantastic screenplay. If you somehow have not seen The Princess Bride, you are actively doing yourself a disservice. It is a phenomenal movie. For a long time, I considered it my favorite movie. So it's just wonderful. Please go watch The Princess Bride, whether you've seen it or you haven't. It is worth revisiting. Folks, thank you so much for joining me for this first episode of Plumber Bummer. If you'd like, you can find updates and tweet at the show at BummerPod. And you can email us at plumberbummerpodcast@gmail.com. If you enjoy the show and you want a way to support us directly, you can donate at ko-fi.com/plumberbummer. That's ko-fi.com/plumberbummer. Or you can click the link at the end of the show notes. Anything that you can spare is greatly appreciated. Also, if you like what you hear, tell your friends about the show. We don't pay for advertising at all, which means we rely entirely on word of mouth to get our name out there. If you know someone who you think would really like the show, send them our way. We really appreciate it. You can also rate and review us on iTunes. which shows the algorithm that people like the show, and then lets more people know about the show. All hail the mighty algorithm. Thank you for putting up with my sick, sick voice this week. Hopefully I am better by next week. But again, I made a commitment to be here. And so I'm going to be here every Friday. Thank you also for putting up with me raw dogging it. I'm excited to do a more structured recap of this movie, which will happen next week. So tune back in for episode 2 for my rambling to make sense. But I really hope you enjoyed this episode. I hope you got a laugh about it, because I was laughing as I was watching the movie. Thanks a whole bunch for tuning in. And as Mario would say, wahoo! Did that sound like Yoshi?
Let's go! Nighty-nighty.